Well, God, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that this life. I thank you, Father, that you give us ears to hear and understand what your spirit wants to say to us this morning. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Okay, so we've been talking about, our series title is Follow Me, an Invitation to Difference. Everybody say difference. How many of y'all want something different this year than last year? So we're still in we're still in the attitude that this is our year to grow as believers. We're going to grow this year. And as believers, we're going to become stronger in who we are in Jesus this year. We're going to be stronger in our understanding of the Word. We're going to be stronger in our walk with God. We're going to be stronger than ever before. We're going to grow this year. Everybody say grow.
Grow.
Amen. So that's part. This is all. Actually, this whole year is part of it. So we're going to be talking about growing. So we're going to grow. So an invitation, if we're going to grow, we're going to have to do something different. So we've talked about this series, Follow Me, an Invitation to Different. And so we talked about that there's something inside of us that longs for something more, right? There's something inside of all of us that says, you know what, there's like, you almost feel like you feel that destiny that's kind of on the inside of you. You feel like there's something, that there's like this thing that hasn't quite been unleashed out of us. Like we all kind of feel that, right? We all kind of feel that. And I believe that that is God's invitation, and that's God's desire to pull out of us what God's called us to be and to do. And so Jesus calls us to be different, to go come to live a different life, right? He is inviting us to the different. When Jesus says, follow me, it's not just follow me, we're going the same way we've always gone. No, he's saying, follow me into a different way of living and a different life. So we talked about the problem with different. We said it's uncontrollable, right? Different is uncontrollable. Different is the outcome of different is unknown. Like you don't always know the outcome when you start walking some way that you've never walked before. It's scary at times, right? It's different. The outcome is not known. It's uncomfortable to do things that you've never done before, walk in a way that you've never walked before. It's uncomfortable. Am I going to be any good at it, right? So we also talked about this picture. Hopefully I have this picture. The well-worn path. We talked about the well-worn path. The well-worn path is a real thing. We have well-worn paths in our lives that are normal things that we do in a way we think, the way we act, right? There's addictions can be actually part of a well-worn path, that as we walk in a the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about our culture, the way we think about how life should be, can be a well-worn path. And if we don't understand that God is calling us out of that well-worn path to something different, a whole new way of living, and a whole new way of acting, and a whole new way of being, right? Then we'll stay on that well-worn path. But Jesus is calling us out. We talked about Matthew. Jesus called Matthew as a tax collector, as a Roman employee. And we talked about the fact that, you know, we talked about how, I got to be so careful. We talked about the fact that Matthew was in his normal life routine. Get up, go to the tax collector's booth, go home. Take a little money for himself, right? Go home. Right? He had a good gig. He was not liked by a lot of Jewish people, but he was employed by the occupying force of the day. That's not a bad gig, right? You're protected by the occupying force, right? So Jesus comes up to Matthew and says, hey, listen, he says, come and follow me. Come and follow me. And the Bible says that Matthew immediately got up and left, watch this, everything. He left his comfort. He left his 9-to-5, as it were. He left his normal. No longer was he going to get up, put his little tax collector shoes on, and go to the little tax collector booth. That life was gone. He got up, changed the whole way he lived, and followed Jesus. Can you imagine that? So, and then last week, we talked about the fact that if you do choose to follow Jesus, Jesus says it like this, anyone who wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. There are things that we do that, and we talked about, there's a scripture, there's a path before each person that seems right in Proverbs, but the ends in death. There's people, there's that if we don't get out of the mindset of the way we are and follow the teaching and follow the way Jesus lives and operates to be a true follower of him, If we don't do that, we'll just continue on the same well-worn path. But we have to change and follow Him, and that's going to cause us to it's going to cause us to throw away your own way of doing things, right? Like the I got time. It's really good. So we talked about the hard truth warning. The hard truth warning of getting off the well-worn path is this: the only way off the well-worn path is submitting your ways to God's ways. Submitting your ways to God's ways, right? That's the only way. It's the only way off the well-worn path. And we talked about the fact that submission is not submission until you're asked to do something you don't want to do. If Jesus says, hey, go eat some ice cream, that's called agreement. Jesus calls you to, you know, serve your boss as unto the Lord. That's submission. That's when it comes. That's the truth, right? Leaving your old way, because our old way don't work, and following the new way. Amen. All right. So, real quick, we're going to do this in 15 minutes. Buckle your seatbelts. Following Jesus. So, following Jesus. So, I thought about this. Like, can you imagine, like Matthew? Like, whenever. Remember when you were a kid? And you decide to, and your parents just piled you in the car, and you're like, hey, we're going on this trip. And you're like, okay, so, like, where are we going? Where are we going? I'll never forget one year, actually, it was the Jordans. The Jordans and me, our family and the Jordans family went together to go to Disney. We actually went to Disney together, which was super fun, by the way. Probably need to do that again. But I remember they didn't tell the girls. They didn't tell the girls. So actually, we left church on a Sunday morning. We drove over to Subway. Remember that? We drove over to Subway, and so we got we had and actually Mike and Michelle had packed all the girls. My kids knew, because I'm terrible at that stuff. So, what's that? Yeah, well, you find out. So, because I'm terrible at that stuff. So, but they had all their clothes. They had packed all the girls' clothes and everything in the car, ready. We were leaving after church, going straight to Disney. And they didn't know it. Maddie and Sammy didn't know it. And so we got to there, and I forgot exactly how it all went down, but I remember the face on, we're doing what? What? Like, you could see it, like, registering over time. Like, so when are we going? Like, right now? Like, this moment. Oh, yeah, your stuff's packed. We're leaving today, right now. And so just to watch this idea, like, so when you follow Jesus, sometimes you have that, now, where are we going again? Like, what's going on right now? So we're not really sure always. So exactly what are we going to... And then I thought about this. Like, so Matthew gets up like, okay, so what are we going to eat? Like, you ever thought about that? Like, all the disciples, they leave everything and go, are we going to have food? Like, is there money involved with it? Like, is there a budget? Like, we need to... Like, I'm used to eating really good food, right? So is there going to be food or whatever? I was thinking about this. But all those questions that Matthew might have asked. So... when we want to get out of the well-worn path, I'm going to just go right to the meat of what we want to talk about. There's a new way of living. Yeah. A new way of doing things. And the key of this is found in Mark chapter 10 and verse 35. Let's go to the scripture. And we're going to go by through it a little step by step. I love this. You know what? Don't you love when the Bible just... it just exposes a couple of guys and their motives. And it says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. By the way, privately. Let's pull Jesus aside and talk to Jesus privately. Because then it says, we want you to do us a favor. We want you to do us a favor. What is your request? He asked. They replied, I can almost see him like going, hey, Jesus, like, making sure, like, the other disciples didn't hear, right? Making sure it was just them. Hey, I want to do us a favor. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in the places of honor next to you. Don't you love people? Don't you just love people? This is people at their best, right here. Of honor next to you, one on your right and one on your left. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Let's stop. No, because if we don't, if we rush this, we miss it, right? Yeah. We miss the understanding of, like, so here's James and John going, hey, been walking? I feel like it's almost like they're going, hey, me and Jesus, we got like a better relationship with all of them guys. Right? So, hey, Jesus, before anybody else asks this question, we want like dibs, right? Shotgun. Like, we get dibs. We're first. Like, you see James and John just going, hey, I don't think anybody else has asked. You know what? You have not because you ask not. Right? So, actually, that scripture wasn't written quite yet. But Jesus, he says, then Jesus said to him, you don't know what you are asking. You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the... This is fantastic as well. It's all fantastic. Read your Bible. It's amazing. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized? And let's not rush. Be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with. And let me just go ahead and say, James and John still didn't understand what Jesus was talking about because the next scripture fully expresses it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. No clue. Clueless. We are able. Jesus told them, here's the switch, right? You will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. Because they did. They were all executed, right? Well, anyway. They were all tortured. They all went through torturing. Right. All those disciples. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. Which tells us that there is those places. And then, here's what happens. Gossip sets in. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. That's fantastic. They were indignant. Of course they were. What? And can you imagine? Can you imagine those conversations? So here you have this big upheaval in the discipleship. Jesus has his first like big issue, big division problem in his disciples, right? Who are these guys? What did James and John want to? What do they want to do? Who do they think they are? And Peter's like, me, I'm the rock. You know what? What's up? You know, he's like, I'm supposed to be the guy, right? So Jesus, like a good leader, brings them all together and says, here we go. You know that the rulers of this world lord over their people. Who are the rulers today? Let's just name some. Like Trump, okay. Let's get down to a normal everyday life area, right? Like you're maybe the authorities, right? Right? Maybe your boss, right? Maybe the people who have any kind of authority, pastors, right, for that matter. People that have some kind of authority and they have some kind of decision-making over other people, right? That's what he says. He says, you know that the rulers in this world lord over their people and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. How many of you have been around leaders and rulers that have flaunted their authority over you? I'm not going to ask if it's still now, today. But listen to this. In verse 43, here's where he switches it. But among you, it will be different. But among you, he tells his disciples, but among you, don't be like, here's the confrontation. The world does it this way, but it's not going to be that way among you because here's his invitation to what? Different. He says, but among you, it's going to be different. But among you, it's going to be, here's the world does it this way, you do it this way. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be slave of everyone else. He doubles down. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom to many. James and John is following the culture, right? They want to sit on that throne. They want to be right there next to Jesus. Because why? Because of maybe a motive of we want to have authority. We want to be in that. We want to have that place of authority. Jesus calls it all out. And then the disciples come by. Don't be thinking that the disciples were mad at them. Because they were asking for maybe probably some of the stuff that they wanted. Right? So the whole thing is Jesus is saying, look, among the world, like leadership and people that are in authority, this is the way they do it. They lord over people. They exercise their authority over people, and they're proud of it. They walk around like they got it all together, and they have all this authority, and they're, you know, I'm a person of influence, right? I'm a person that I'm respected. Well, maybe or maybe not. But Jesus says, listen, don't be like that. In the kingdom, Jesus says, the leaders, the people who are in authority, are the servants. Are the servants. So true leadership has to do with serving. Has to do with serving other people. Jesus gave that model clearly. So much so that he says that he gave his life, he's going to give his life as a ransom for other people. Jesus decided to humble himself. And so we have to follow. See, the kingdom's mindset is that we serve one another. And that we look not at our own needs, but the needs of others. And we look at other people even higher than ourselves. See, the disciples were starting to behave the same way the world behaves. And Jesus calls it out. The life, ultimately, the life of a servant, our first service, and I'm rushing through my notes, but we'll still get the point out. Because this isn't like new revelation, right? Maybe walking it out is new revelation, but this is the way it's set up. Ultimately, our life and our service is to God. It's to God. This is not up on the screen, but Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 says this. It says, Paul's introducing himself in his letter, to the Romans, he says, Paul, he calls himself a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Interesting that Paul knew who he knew his call, right? That he was an apostle and set apart from the gospel. He was certain of his call. He knew his call, but he understood his position, that I'm a servant of Jesus, first and foremost. Actually, in the New Living Translation, it actually says, this letter from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, which actually is actually a better translation if you dig into it a little bit. The idea is, as believers, we become servants to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 says this, you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. Now, therefore, honor God with your bodies. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So, when we belong to God, that means it matters what we do, how we live. It's not just a matter, listen, you didn't just become a Christian when you decided to follow Jesus, become a Christian. Now I'm just a better person. No. Positionally, you decided, I don't know if they told you this when you came down that altar, right, and you answered that altar call. Positionally, they said, now you are a servant of God. It's not your ways anymore. You are under His authority. Yeah. Not only that, you are owned by Him. You were bought with a price. Yeah. Like, you are not your own. Like, we really should rethink our altar calls. So when you follow Jesus, when you become a follower of Jesus, now Jesus has been set high, and He is lifted. He is the King of this new kingdom, and we are servants of the King. That means the way the King thinks things should operate is the way we should operate, right? And the number one way, and then we'll get into this, is we serve God. We serve God by what? Serving others. The key to the kingdom is we serve God by serving others, because we are servants of Him, and we serve what He loves the most, and that's people. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, Let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as a faithful steward of the grace of God's grace in its various forms. See, we love our giftings, right? Some places you get a little tag that says, I am, you know, elder so-and-so, or a prophet. My favorite is back in the charismatic renewal, the people that wore the little badges, little prophetess, prophet. You know how you know if they're a prophet? If they prophesy. You don't need a name badge, right? But they said the idea is, listen, this gift is not just for you. Again, it feels good to exercise and flow in the giftings that God has given you. Like you take these guys who are up on the worship team, and Mark sang today. That was amazing. And so you use their giftings, right? And it feels good. It does feel good when you operate in your giftings, what God's called you to do. But understand, it's not for you. Your giftings are to serve others. Mm-hmm. And the moment, I don't want to pick on worship team, not this worship team, and other worship teams. The moment people on a worship team, they get all minded about their gift and what, look how I'm gifted. Listen how pretty my voice is. You lose the idea that people and thank God, Brian and this worship team understand those things, that they are serving the people in worship. Right? They're servants. You serve. And leadership, above all else, according to the kingdom, is serving. It is I'll call it the right side up kingdom. The other one is the upside down kingdom. Right? The right way to live is to serve. So, real quick, how do you serve? Jesus gave us, and this is scripture after scripture, this is all through. This is not picking this little, this is all through. The being a servant is all through the New Testament. The idea of serving others. So let me just throw out some examples. Examples. How can you serve? I thought I would just prime the pump a little bit, right? How can you serve? You can serve children. Children are one of the greatest ways to serve. Yes. Because when you serve children, it's not like you can work an angle with children because they're going to maybe, like when you serve other people, like if you serve on a committee, sometimes you can do networking, right? But with children, ain't no networking. They're not networking. They're going to say exactly what they think, when they think, if they want to do even what you're talking about. They don't give a rip. But when you serve children, I believe like serving children is one of the most selfless things you can do to serve children. They're not second-class citizens. Jesus made that really clear. There's not adult service and children, right? Now, what they're doing in the back rooms right now is just as important as what we're doing right here. Just as. They're not second-class citizens. They're children that God loves. That God doesn't only love adults. God loves children. Yeah. Let the children come to me. Remember when he rebuked his disciples? There's only a few times where Jesus rebuked his disciples. And one of them was when they didn't let the kids come to him. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's Wiley can do a lot better job at teaching on ministry. He taught me more about children's ministry than anybody else. Well, how else can you do? You can be a friend. You know, true friendship is a great act of service. You can be with people. When you're a friend, you're with somebody during their hard times. And can we just get real? Friendships, when we get with people that are going through tough times, you know. You're serving people. You're with them. You walk with stuff, you walk through stuff with them, holding their hand. And you don't always have to have all the answers, right? Just be with them. One of the greatest ways you can serve people is to listen. Just listen. And don't listen. You know how we listen? You know, America, not you, other people, like, you know how a lot of people listen? A lot of people listen just going, oh, I got it. I know what I'm going to say next. Oh, yeah, they're telling me their problem. I got it. I got it. I got the answer. I got their answer. I'm just waiting for them to breathe. Yeah. Right? No, 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 no.
It's so true.
Listen.
It's so true.
Listen to people. Really hear them all the way through. Sometimes I wonder, as we listen, as you're talking to people, sometimes I wonder if we're just trying to make ourselves sound smart. Listen to people. Listen to what they're going through. Feel that pain. Feel that issue that they're going through. Understand what they're going through. Because I promise you, and if you really want to help somebody, is really listen to them. Empathize with them. Really empathize, not the fake empathy. Empathize with them. Feel it. Because you'll actually be better positioned to help somebody. People don't care what you know. They just want to know that you care.
Right.
So you care about, care for people. Be a mentor. You can serve people by being a mentor. You say, I don't have anything to offer. Yes, you do.
Amen.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You can mentor. You can spend time with people. Mentor somebody. You can serve people by inviting your coworker to church. Invite him to church. You can serve people by taking somebody out for lunch who's going through a tough time. Maybe a coworker. And you listen to them and you hear what they're going through. You know, really what we're talking about is when we talk about serving people, you have to have a mindset of others. You have a mindset of others. You know what's great about God? You say, I remember, I don't have the exact quote, but they talk about Mother Teresa. She talked about how she says, people will say all kind of bad things about you. She said, love them anyway. People will use you. Love them anyway. People will misunderstand your motives. Serve them anyway. Because it was never between you and them anyway. It's between you and God. That's what she would say. It's never about you and them. I'm a pastor. People say all kind of stuff. Right? I've had my motives questioned. I've had all kind of stuff. You know what you just keep doing? It's not between me and them, God. It's between me and you. What do you want me to do? Love? I'll keep the love button pushed. Keep the serve button pushed. Will they use you? Yep. Will they say things about you? Yep. But don't allow, the way to keep that bitterness out of you is say, it's between me and you, God. It's not between me and them. It's between me and you. Let me tell you, what I'm saying right now can heal so many hearts and can protect you from all kind of disappointments and insecurities and all kind of stuff. When you realize who you are in Jesus,
yeah,
you can serve. Absolutely. So, be others-minded. Don't make things about you. Let's just say sometimes weddings are amazing. And the people who are involved with weddings are amazing. Because really it's all about the bride, right? The bride and groom. But man, all these other people, like you have all this, you know, drama that goes around weddings with people who, it's not about you, it's about them, right? Like, don't make this whole thing. I'm saying this. Anyway, we'll just leave that alone. It hit home when you have a wedding yesterday. So, but people do. People that make things about them. Like, they're in this, like, the world revolves around you. Like, people are, my wife says it like this. It's almost like you're the star of the show, and everybody around you is supporting actors in your movie. Right? You know, they're all, yeah, that's right, they're all extras. Thank you for showing up to my movie, starring me, with the centering of me, right? No. No, the star is the other, actually, the star of the other people. Listen to other people. Show kindness. When you talk to people, ask them about them. And don't wait to do the you me. Right? Don't do the me monster. We've talked about that before. Where it's all about you, and then you, I caught a fish this big, and I didn't have a boat big enough for my fish, and I caught 30 fish that big, like yesterday, with just a string and a rope, and yeah, and I grabbed it out of the water with my bare hand, my teeth, I bet, like a bear. I don't even use a boat, I swim all over the place. Like, you see how we do? Like, the you, me. Listen, be excited. Listen, when people get something, when something happens, celebrate with them. Serve people. Be others-minded. Show kindness. And lastly, listen to God. Listen to God. Because you will probably, if you ask God, I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you. When you wake up tomorrow, oh, this is good. Because that ooh made y'all agree. Because I'll take that as an amen. Tomorrow when you wake up, you ready? In your normal prayer time, because we all have our morning prayer time. Your prayer tomorrow is, Lord, send me someone today to serve. Send me someone today to serve. You want to see the faithfulness of God? You want to see God answer prayers? Listen to God. God has assignments for you every day. I was going to go into the whole washing feet. We get this, right? Not ushers. Who are you guys? You're the worship team. Come on up. Sorry. Don't you want, listen, when Scripture talks about, as they're coming up, as Scripture talks about things like, let your light so shine that others will see your good works and glorify God, this is what we're talking about. When you serve other people, you let your light shine. When you love Jesus and you love people, love people, we allow Jesus to love people through you, you let your light shine. Will you do that just like Jesus' song? I wish we planned this. That was like perfect. Yeah. When you love, when you let your light shine, it's by serving. Yeah. It's by being others-minded. Jesus was the most others-minded person ever walked the place of the planet. He was others-minded. Of anybody who could have been like, look at me, it was Jesus. But Jesus is always serving. He was finding the most difficult, the lepers. Think about why the Scriptures talk about some of the things that they talk about. The extraordinary things, the poor, the downcast. Jesus is like a magnet to him, because he just wants to serve. He just wants to serve. He just wants to pour his love on people. Let's all stand together. I know it's late. Don't you want to be more like Jesus? Don't you want to have his nature in us? We call ourselves Spirit-filled believers. The more of God's Spirit that's in us should be an expression, the more of God's love that flows out of us. Not just the power gifts, those are wonderful. Not just all that, not the prophetic, those are great. But it's so that we can serve others and be a blessing to other people. Amen. Close your eyes. God help us. God help us to be more like Jesus. And God, we thank you. And God, for whatever goes on, whatever people say about us, maybe they say good things about us and all that, God, we'll give you all the glory and all the credit. God, it belongs to you and you alone. Because, God, my life is yours. And I don't live my life to the dictates of people. God, I live my life to you. But you've called us to serve. And God, I pray you would help us. Anoint us. Yeah. I pray an anointing to serve. An anointing to see others first. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.